Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
I need a bit of a start. I think we're doing enough.
It's getting ridiculous. I think you should host all of these. Relegate Andrew to the third chair.
Oh.
Exactly. Yes. Then maybe we'd actually have, you know, a working podcast.
Yeah. And good reviews on.
So as you can tell, Damien and myself, Douglas, are actually here. Yes. Even though we have not said, hi, this is Damien or Douglas.
Hi, my name
and today
is Damien,
we are actually going to talk
alcoholic.
About movie stuff.
Oh, so and I like movies, sorry.
Yes, alcoholics who like movies.
We should change the name of the podcast.
That's exactly what we should do.
It's been unnamed forever.
Yeah,
should
yes,
name
we should
it.
Name it.
No, not really.
Alright, so Andrew,
we should leave it
what
up to
have you been
order.
Watching this week? No, I won't let you say what you
I guess I'll start out with something really nice. I rewatched.
No, what were you going to say?
I'm confused.
That was the whole point. I'm sorry, I'm just messing with you. Go ahead.
And this is what the podcast would sound like if Douglas were hosting. Confusion galore. Whoa. One, two right there. One, two. as I was saying, what I've been watching this week, I got them on Blu-ray, Monsters, Inc. and Up, and I watched those two movies, and...
What else did you get with that package, by the way?
I got Heat. And I also have Cars on the way.
Cars, okay. I knew there was more Pixar, which is what I
yeah.
was really getting at.
But I haven't seen those yet. But, Monsters, Inc. and Up. I was seriously considering leaving Up out of my top 10 that I've been thinking about for a while for the year. But after watching it today, it definitely deserves to be in there. It is one of the best films of the year.
You know what, though? It probably isn't number one. But he will say it's the best movie. And the only reason he doesn't put it at number one is, like, you know... Somebody doesn't
know. He's already keeped that 500 days of some of his favorite move, favoriteest movie
so
of
far.
All time.
yeah, it's insane. And to see these movies on Blu-ray, like, we haven't said this enough, that high def is a way to go.
I remember telling you two, and you guys are no, it is Iron Man doesn't look that much better on Blu-ray.
That was the first movie we watched
yeah,
on Blu-ray.
How quickly perceptions change.
And once I saw, you know, just the whites come out of his, you know, the hand thrusters, I was in.
You guys still haven't experienced the true nature of Blu-ray.
Because we don't have the sound.
Audio. Guys, wait, you'll understand.
I know.
Understand.
One day. I think the first 10 minutes of Up can quite possibly be the best opening of a film this year.
I would disagree, but no.
I mean, the only thing in my mind that I can think of this year that was a great opening to a movie was the first scene of Inglourious Basterds.
Sorry.
But even your favorite movie, though, that movie started fantastically. 500 days. It told you all that you needed to know. You had the gist of that movie in like 10
This boy left. Watched The Graduate way too much.
Even with terrible, terrible VO.
It is a great opening, but I mean, like, Up and Inglourious Basterds just seems special to me when I watch those first few minutes.
Fair enough. But Squirrel is why that movie is fantastic.
Yes, that's a great
Squirrel. also today I sat down and I watched The Cartel, this documentary.
Sorry, you can't edit.
The documentary about Lil Wayne, and this wasn't a great film at all. It wasn't a good film, but it just seemed quite odd, because when it opened up, it had this text in front of it stating exactly what it was. Like, Lil Wayne, when the film started, decided he was not going to give interviews to the director. So all the interviews you see in the film are regular press interviews that the director happened to be there filming. So it was really just 6 months of the director walking behind Lil Wayne and seeing all this stuff. And I mean, I've, like, ignored rap music for a long while now. Like, I haven't really been listening to all the crap that they've been making for, what, since fourth film, which was like what how many years ago? It's insane, and I'm kind of curious to see what someone who right now loves rap and loves Lil Wayne would think of this film.
Stop. I love rap. Who is this Lil Wayne that you speak of?
He was in the
hot No, I'm just joking. I know exactly who he is.
Bling.
Just because I love rap does not mean I love Lil Wayne. No, Lil Wayne is actually okay. He's not the worst that there is.
But he didn't say because he love rap. You love Lil Wayne. He said he wants a perspective of someone who claims they love rap and loves Lil Wayne. Because he can't truly love rap and listen to it.
No, he's not off.
They are mutually exclusive. I've heard a lot of them and they're very terrible.
Horrible.
Define horrible.
Making me want to put my hair out and my ears open.
That's pretty much it.
And that's the funniest thing, that whenever they were actually playing songs during the film of his music, like they had the one that I remember the name of was Lollipop. Like when I was listening to that song, I'm like, this sounds like garbage on top of everything else. It's insane. And I mean, that's how it started. That's how it started out. The guy was watching TV and he's like, that dude is wearing a shirt which says the greatest rapper alive is Lil Wayne. That's me. What the fuck? And then you just start seeing him believe this crap that he's the greatest rapper alive.
This guy's hilarious. Have you seen his interview with Kid Cudi?
No, I haven't.
I remember there's this one set of statements that he made that was just ridiculous. Kid Cudi asked him, because he's not close with his father, and she asked him something along the lines of, so, you know, if you saw your father today, what questions would you ask him, if you wanted to get close to him or whatever? And he looks at her with this confused stare, and then he says, I wouldn't ask him anything because gangsters don't ask questions.
And with that, we move on to what's Andrew. Speaking about gangsters, what else did Andrew watch?
I watched Paper Heart this week. And, I mean, I'm going to start off by saying I like this movie.
No shit. You liked this movie before the movie came out.
I like the trailer.
Yeah, you liked the movie long before this movie came out.
And I think one of the I don't think it's a real... I know Michael Cera and Charlene, you were together. I don't know if they're still together now or whatnot. I don't care.
The movie was written.
I don't care.
It's a lie.
No. You see, that's the thing. The story between Michael Cera, Charlene Yee, and the fake director who is played by an actor whose character name is the real director of the film. All of that story is written and scripted out, which I think is a pretty nice story put together on film. But what I think is a standout point of this film is that when they actually have interviews with other people, which I might be scripted, but I'm going to believe that these interviews, which are separate from that story that I spoke about, are real. They end the interviews always with the people giving a story about their true love and when they knew their love was true and whatever. And they are, instead of just keeping the camera on them telling the story, they skip away to this reimagining of the story done with these paper dolls on it looks really cute and adorable.
Oh,
and
it's,
I thought it was nice.
Cute and adorable. That's what I look for when I watch movies. Do you subscribe to the Lifetime channel by any chance?
Yes, it's on the cable downstairs. We watch it on occasion.
Right. Speaking of Lifetime, what else did you watch?
Also this week, the only other movie I watched was Christmas Vacation. I started a Christmas movie marathon I'm going to be doing on the site. I watched Christmas Vacation first. I hadn't seen it before. And
sure
it is...
How many times have I heard this?
This is National Lampoon.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. This movie is hilarious. And and I think one of the standout moments, which I've mentioned on Twitter, and I used it as a screenshot for the banner of the post, was... At near the end of the movie, when the police come in and they tell everyone to freeze, you see the entire family freeze, and when you see everyone in the shot, you notice that I think Evelyn is her name.
Well, Beverly D'Angelo.
Beverly D'Angelo is the actress who plays the wife, is cupping Chevy Chase's balls, and then she has to say hello to this woman. She lifts her hand, shakes the woman's hand, then returns to the balls. And I just think that's hilarious. Just a hilarious moment.
National Lampoon movies used to be... It used to be like a seal of approval. Now it's pretty much a beacon to warn you off movies. But yes, for a long time there, they had a terrific run. It was fantastic.
Well, I don't know about a long time. I can speak to Vacation. I can speak to European Vacation and Christmas Vacation.
There was Van Wilder.
You can't count Van Wilder yet. Yes, it was a good movie. I liked it, but...
Those are the Chevy Chase, that's the Griswold stuff.
Yeah, that's the Griswold stuff. Other than those three, do you think there were any real good National Lampoon movies even back in like the 70s and the 80s?
The three that you named are the ones that I know.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So how is that a long run?
They have tons of movies. They just are all sorts of different names and straight to video and all sorts of madness.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. Fair enough.
There's
my last name.
There's that one you don't like, with Blues Brothers guy and the heist and the college.
John Belushi, you mean?
John Belushi. Oh, isn't it a Lampoon's movie?
Animal House? You don't like Animal House?
Not really.
Didn't he go to college?
Yes.
You're supposed to love that movie. I love that movie. I've never been to school. Oh, that's
it. Don't do much reading, do you?
I tell you.
And yeah, that's about it this week.
Actually signed up to audible.com. I'm tired of trying to read and not reading. I'll pay people to read.
Actually, I think like I haven't done it yet, so I don't know whether it will or not, because I listen to a lot of give me a second please. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I feel that if I were to listen to an audio reading of a book, I'll just fall asleep to it.
No, you're because you do the same thing you do when you listen to podcasts. You do other things. No one sits down and listens.
But then
to
I won't podcast. Be paying attention to it for
you. No, but you pay attention to your podcast when you're doing other things.
Sometimes I zone out.
And the book is not going anywhere. It doesn't expire. You can always listen to it again.
Yeah, there's this thing called a rewind button.
I know.
I'm sorry about it. But the first book I got was this book. What Women Want from Their Men. Some guy called Dan True. And the book is 2 hours long. I found hilarious because if there was a book about what men want from their women, like the intros would be a minute long and the rest of the book would be like 30 seconds of breeze through that book. But this reading, this paying people to read for you, works.
How much is Audible again?
The subscription is, you can't get a free subscription, it's just the cost of the books. Yes, you pay for, I think for the year is like $30, and then you can buy whatever book you want.
Oh, okay.
It's not that bad.
So what did you watch this week, Damon?
I think 3 weeks ago, I tried to watch Whatever Works, which is, what's the dude's name?
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen's latest film. And I stopped watching about 10, 15 minutes in, because it was annoying me. He just constantly breaks the fourth wall for no reason, and the dude was just bitching for endlessly.
This sounds like there's a butter somewhere.
But I decided to go back because the year is ending and I want to get through all of the movies that have come out this year. And it's unfair for me to say a movie is trash based on the first 10 minutes. Except for when I'm right. This movie is trash. It is unrelatable nonsense. That's all the movie is. You cannot... Nowhere in humanity does situations like this exist. And by the end of the movie, he has hit every cliche, but he has warped it in a Woody Allen way. And it is just bad. It's a bad. I do not recommend this movie to anybody because you won't find it cute. It is definitely not smart and it's not engaging, because even if you like Curb Your Enthusiasm,
yeah,
this dude took it too far, and it's clearly because of Woody Allen. I don't like nothing about this movie is good. It's not a terrible movie. It's not like Dragon Ball Z level. It's not that, because he knows how to direct and he knows how to, you know, move actor. But the story in this movie, which all of his movies hinge on, is so bad that at no point what did I go. Towards the end of the movie, I was just trying to find ways to keep myself from hitting the backspace button. That's all I wanted to do.
Question. I haven't seen that many Woody Allen films, but what comes to mind whenever I think of Woody Allen is one of my favorite of his films, Manhattan. Sure. You've seen that one, right?
Yes.
In that and Whatever Works, you have this relationship between a really older man and a really younger lady. And if we all know the story of Woody Allen, he ended up marrying his adopted daughter.
Yes, and
right?
I was trying to leave that out.
Does it happen in any other of his films? Because I haven't seen that many. But I just think it's an odd thing that he tackles this issue more than once so far in my recollection. And
technically,
it's
in not Match Point, the other one with Scarlett Johansson, he doesn't have a relationship with her, but he becomes Scarlett Johansson's mentor.
Right.
So that could, you know,
what's the name of that movie? The Writer or something.
The Writer.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called.
I'm trying to remember the name of. And Hugh Jackman was in it.
Yeah,
oh, that's Match Point.
Well.
No,
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 Match Point is with Matthew Good.
I saw the one with Hugh Jackman.
The Scoop.
Yeah, I saw that one. Oh yeah, kind of does a thing
but
with
it's
that.
Not the same.
No, it's not the same.
I know
Like, I want to spoil the movie because I don't really want anybody to.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
Am I cleared for spoilers here?
I haven't watched it yet.
Do you want to watch it?
I might watch it.
If I spoil it for you, you'll never watch it.
Alright, no, don't spoil it. Don't spoil it. Leave it.
I can save him.
No, we have to let him suffer the way we have.
Speaking of suffering.
Yes.
But on a side note, I wanted to mention Curb Your Enthusiasm, the season just finished. And I'm not going to spoil it because I know Douglas isn't up to date.
Yeah.
But I think this was possibly the best season since the Producers season.
I love the Producers season.
And I guess the fact that they're doing Seinfeld throughout it is pretty amazing for me because I love Seinfeld on top of it.
So he's taking his bitchiness to a new level.
So if you think you want to watch Whatever Works, just watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I also saw Nine, which is a animated movie, and yeah, this movie is really, really confusing, which makes no sense because the audience that they're going after are children. And if I cannot understand what the hell is going on this show, no one is going to understand what is going on. I don't think the director knew what he was doing when he put this movie together. And it doesn't have the hook of being funny. The action scenes they're far apart and they're not spectacular. So there is nothing that is visual to keep anybody interested. And apart from the fact that it is very complicated, there is so many missteps in logic. Like, nothing. They're trying to stay on a certain path and lead you down, and then there's just a break in the logic and they go another way and they just assume that everyone is on board. And they do it multiple times throughout the movie. So Nine is about nine robots who have been made by their creator to prolong life on Earth, because he made a supercomputer and the supercomputer made robots and the robots killed all the humans. And he made smaller robots and he decided that the best way for them to protect themselves was for them to be made out of cloth. So they're fighting actual machines with metal and they're this big. They're really tiny and they're made of
cloth. But don't you understand? It's like the same sort of logic from rock, paper, scissors. Paper covers rock.
Fair enough.
Come on.
Cloth covers metal.
So my only question to you is, since it sounds so similar, is this better than Terminator 4?
No. No, this movie is... it's just stupid. And, like, I don't want to sound overly negative, but the movie, I fail to see who this movie was made for.
Yeah.
Seriously. It's not made for children, clearly. It's not made for adults.
Did you watch a movie that you liked this week?
Yes, come I on. Did, actually. I watched A Perfect Ghetto.
I like that movie.
A movie. What? When I saw the trailer, I had expectations for this movie. And I'm sure my expectations is what played into me liking this movie so much. Timothy Oliphant also helps.
He's great.
And there's
I actually really love Steve Zahn in this
yes.
movie.
I love Steve Zahn in general. He just does bad movies, I think.
No, that's true. I like his character that he usually is, but in this movie he was something different and he right. played it very
there,
well.
There is a switch
Oh, but you didn't see the, that though? Come
no,
on.
No.
I saw that from in the trailer.
La 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 la.
No, in the trailer.
So we're not giving away anything.
Come
okay.
on.
There's a switch as about 75% mark. And
also it's what I think is going to happen comes. Right. Okay.
So the, and the movie does it like flipped into high gear in terms of awesome. The movie's a really fun movie. If you're going in expecting to be wowed by anything at all, it's not that movie.
It's just a fun
but
movie.
If
to
you
watch
want
on
a movie, right. That you can bring any of your friends and say, hey, let's watch this movie. This is a great movie to watch. It's kind of... like, I had the same feeling after I finished watching Trick or Treat. Watching this movie.
Which I can't get Douglas to watch for some reason.
They're just... I mean, you think they're going to be the regular thrillers that they've been cracking up for years and years, and you just have this image in your mind that it's going to be bad, and they just take such a straightforward approach and they just decide, let's not make this movie crappy, let's make it fun, let's not take ourselves too seriously. I definitely paid off. And there is the second best use of slow-mo I've seen in this for the year.
When was this?
When Oliphant jumped off the top of the cliff and Right. Second best use of slow.
So what was the best slow?
I can't talk about it.
Oh,
never
mind. No, Andrew. Clearly the best use of slow-mo was in the movie that we saw this week. Yes?
Oh yeah. That had slow-mo that blows your mind.
I'm very confused. What the hell?
I'll talk about it
in a second. Once you hand over the baton.
I really enjoyed there was a lot of trepidation when I picked this movie. But I was like, alright, I just need to get through the list. Have to see everything that has come out this year. All of the crap that I've missed. That movie brought a smile to my face. And then quite by accident I saw The Rules of Engagement.
Is that the one with Sam Jackson?
Right?
I've been meaning to watch that one for a while.
Tommy Lee Jones playing Tommy Lee Jones as Sheriff Tommy Lee Jones. As he plays in every single movie that he's ever
made. That's the one where he shoots people in the middle
yes.
of a crowd. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I kept... when I saw the movie going on, I thought that it was a movie where he said, yes, they deserve to die.
Oh, no.
But it wasn't. That movie was A Time to Kill. And so after I finished watching Rules of Engagement, which still holds up, all the performances are great. Movies in the 90s, because you could have actually gotten great actors. No one knew they were great at the time, but they turned out to be great. I mean, the movie just works. All the performances are good. The story is good. Sam Jackson is angry and legitimately angry and shouts, waste the motherfuckers. Which is phenomenal. Angry Sam Jackson is my favorite kind of Sam Jackson.
Is there any other?
And then I saw a Hunt Down, A Time to Kill, and Matthew McConaughey can actually act.
Yes, he can.
Like,
he can.
Really well. Not just, kind of ironically, he's he was legitimately a good actor.
And then he realized, hold on, I don't get checks this way. But let me take off my shirt.
But then Sam Jackson delivered what has to be his.
Yes.
When I heard him say, I had to pause it, rewind, play it again. That movie's great.
Yeah, also, you'd never seen that movie before?
How would I have known the line if I hadn't seen the movie? I just had a mix up. But that movie's great. Saw some other shitty movies, but I won't talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess that means it's my turn?
Yep.
Alright, well, I wasn't going to start off with this one, but since, you know, we mentioned it before, I saw probably what will turn out to be the best movie of this year. It was
a sequel to Duncan Jones's.
Wow.
Not Moon, but New Moon.
Wow.
And I apologize to Duncan.
I was going to talk about it more, damn it. Like, talk it up, like, you know.
I'm sorry. I stepped on toes.
Now I have to just come out with it. No. This movie was hilarious. It was. It's probably one of the funniest things I've seen this year.
I have to say it's one of my most enjoyed going to the theater experiences this year.
There's some video of someone rapping, like showing all the key points of that movie in like a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that and went, alright, that's it, never watching this movie.
Yeah, well, I actually read the book, so I kind of knew what to expect. And
I know.
Did you read the news story this week that they want to make the fourth book into two movies?
Yeah, I heard.
I don't know how to even drag out the money. Not writing anymore. Maybe she should.
I just love this film when, you know, Bella screamed in the middle of the night, and when
you said there was
Robert Pattinson always was in slow motion.
Okay,
like always.
Every time.
Perpetual slow motion.
Anytime Robert Pattinson came into the scene, he was walking towards you in slow motion with the wind blowing.
With his shirt off. And if it wasn't off, it was half open.
And right? Or coming off.
I don't like where this podcast is heading.
Well, you know, he's a good looking
guy. So, why is it that this movie's good?
Well, sorry, did I say
what's going
on? Oh, okay. No, this movie is pretty poor, but not for lack of effort. Chris White's
the
actually,
author's lack of effort.
Yes.
Not the director.
I thought Chris White did really well in this movie.
There's only so much
he can do.
There
were a couple of scenes that were fantastic. Like, I did like the scene where it goes around Bella and it shows the months passing by. That was kind of neat and funny at the same time. But I found everything in this movie funny. It was kind of weird because the first movie, it wasn't.
Because you were
funny.
Sitting in your room watching it alone.
No. This I would have made fun of if I was watching it by myself too. Like this. So
let me get this straight.
It was great.
You guys knew going in that this movie was bad.
Yes.
You guys knew that the first movie was bad.
Yes.
You guys also know that the movie has made trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
And we contributed.
So instead of voting with your dollars and watching a good movie, or a couldn't be that hard to find, a better movie, you guys said no. I will give them more incentive to make terrible movies.
This week, what was it, Andrew? New Moon or
Planet 51?
Planet 51.
I watched Planet 51 over Twilight anything, any day.
I got personal enjoyment watching this movie because I got to sit in a packed theater full of Twilight fans and watch them all stare at me as I laughed their movie to scorn.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, like, you were talking about good scenes. You haven't mentioned it. I don't know if you've forgotten or whatever, but the standout scene for me, like, not just laughing at the movie for being bad, but a really funny scene for me was the movie theater scene where Bella goes to the movies, and it's just kind of funny. It's like a teen comedy moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I didn't think of that because I'd seen that still like 20 million times before the movie. But yeah, I watched New Moon. It was really funny, but not a good movie. Next, I saw a movie that, sorry, it's not your recommendation here. Again, it's somebody else's. Shannon from moviemoxie.com.
Moviemoxie.blogspot.com.
Oh, sorry.
I just want to make sure she gets the traffic.
Okay. She told me about this film with Dylan Moran in it. And once it has Dylan Moran, nobody needs to tell me anything.
I think
more.
It's pronounced Moran.
I think no one cares.
I don't know, because I pronounced it Moran before, then I watched one of his stand-ups and the introducer guy pronounced it Moran. So I don't really care. What
just sums out to call
Dylan.
Him Moran.
Okay. Dylan, he's a funny, funny guy. If you don't know him, watch Black Books, watch Shaun of the Dead, watch something really funny. He's probably in it. this movie, A Film With Me In It, is... It's not exactly what I expected, and I suppose that's probably because all she said was it's a movie with Dylan in it, and she didn't tell me what it was about. Other than the fact that if I didn't like John Rhys-Meyers, I might like his cameo in the film, which I did. Kudos on that. But this film was—it's a bit of a dark comedy. It's weird. A lot of people die in a lot of unfortunate and very strange circumstances, and it's all about, you know, these two guys dealing with what's happening. And
is it funny?
It is funny at times, but to tell you the truth, I wasn't extremely impressed with it. However, it seems like one of those films where on the second and the third viewing it's much better than when you watch it the first time, or at least it seems that way to me.
That couldn't just be the bias talking.
It probably is, but you never know.
You want to know which movie is really good on repeat viewings?
What?
Brothers Bloom. I've been watching that movie on repeat for a week.
About Fight Club.
Bastard! That's now my third movie I was about to say. Fight Club. I just, not 10 minutes ago. Oh, wait, no. More than 10 minutes ago now, because we've been talking. But not 10 minutes before the show started, finished watching Fight Club. For I don't know how many
time.
Yeah, the billionth time, because I just got the new Blu-ray and I love that movie. That is another one that more than holds up on repeat viewings, of course, because now you're inside on the joke.
Yeah. So you saw it in the most depth.
Exactly, I did see it in the most depth. And that movie is great. You guys should watch it if you haven't. One of the first films I realized, holy crap, Brad Pitt can do something.
No one who listens to this podcast can do so, not much Fight Club.
This is true. Anyway, the last thing I'm going to talk about is another television show that I've started to watch.
Boom.
Called Dead Like Me. It's a really old show. It was on Showtime a long time ago.
The series is good. The movie's terrible.
I don't know.
It will grow on you.
It looks like it
so
will.
So how many episodes does he have to watch before he likes it?
Like three.
How many episodes have you watched?
I've gone about six or seven.
And you still don't like it?
No, it's not that I don't like it. I think it's okay, but I'm kind of... confused as to why there's all this hype. I'm not saying that it's bad, because it's not. It's pretty decent. But, like, I definitely do not like the lead at all.
You're not supposed to. She is not.
But it's not that I don't like her because of who her character is. I just don't like her because, you know, I don't like her voice.
That will not change, sir. They cast her like that for a reason. You'll find out soon enough.
Okay, very cool. But yeah, I'm going to stick with it because it seems like a show worth sticking with. And so,
every now and again, Showtime comes up with some great series, and that's definitely one of your first ones.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else?
No, not really.
I just wanted to mention this because I forgot about it. Yesterday, Scrubs Season 9 premiered. I watched the first two episodes. I don't know if you've seen them yet. I think all our worst fears are coming true.
Ah.
The new main character is Lucy. And what I have to ask the creators and writers of Scrubs right now is what happened. No, JD is there for now, but it's obvious that they're screening him out of the show, as well as all the other main people that we like. They even had a 2-second explanation as to why the janitor isn't there anymore.
Okay.
Who has his own show now, The Middle, which is a bad show. I didn't like it. But the new neurotic main character who has fantasies and isn't confident in herself is Lucy. And I don't like her already. The question I have is, what happened to all of those interns that we came to love in season 8? The only
NBC
one that we can find...
NBC told them not to go to ABC. That's what happened.
But last season was at ABC.
Shh. Don't confuse this with logic.
The only one intern that stuck around, it seems, is Joe or Denise, the male, the very masculine nurse.
Oh.
No, not nurse. Oh. Doctor. Woman doctor.
Okay.
And she's funny, and they aren't giving her enough time on TV, I think. So I hope... I'm still going to watch it because I love Scrubs, but I hope that they give Joe more time than what they're doing with Lucy, this girl. No.
I hope by the time it's over, the answer will be unanimous. Either yes, it is good, or it is terrible, so I don't have to waste my time.
I hope the fact that Zach Braff is being slowly ousted from his show slaps him in the face and makes him realize he needs to do a good movie again. But that's just...
Again?
Again, yeah.
He did Garden State and what else?
Exactly.
Okay.
No, he's done other films.
Yes. Not other good films.
All right, one that I like, and I know Douglas doesn't like. I don't know about you. Last Kiss.
Oh, no,
I like that movie.
Sir, what?
Please. Sad. Anyways, moving on into
Rachel Bazel is a girl. She's terrible. In all her movies.
I like one movie that she's
no,
in.
No, you don't.
Yes,
you're lying. What is the name?
I love Jumper.
Okay.
That's not even necessary.
I do, though. I love it with all my heart and soul. And I don't know why, because the acting is poor, the story is generic, but I love
what you like. What you like is a final 30 minutes of that when he meets the other jumper dude and he's jumping cars through New York and they're fighting each other, like throwing trucks at each other, and then right at the end when it's getting good, Sam Jackson steps in and fucks it up. But there's an hour before then, no. But especially when she was on screen, he just went, why am I still watching this?
I'm with Douglas on this one. I know it's not a great movie, but I love it.
Wow.
That's a movie I would actually buy on Blu-ray. For not a lot of money.
And moving on into news. Peter Berg came out and he gave out a ton of details about the Battleship movie.
Which I haven't read because it's a Battleship movie.
And
my Battleship.
That's about all I need to know.
He said that, number one, there will be a moment in the film where a main character will shout, "You've sunk my battleship."
No shit. Which makes this movie a 3 at best.
And it's going to take the Indy 4 route and go to Aliens.
That's it. I call it a wrap. Zoho. No,
I don't even want to name the rest of the details, but...
Nope, it's a bad idea. Moving on.
Please don't tell me anymore. Next news.
I'm not even going to watch this movie as a joke. That's how bad it is.
Which company was this? Because it's one specific company. I think it's... Universal. Yep. Yeah. Universal Home Entertainment announced that they want to do this flipper disc thing, which is coming out in January. Meaning that when you buy your Blu-rays... On the other side of the Blu-ray will be a DVD version of the film you would watch. So, for example, I just bought Up and Monsters Inc. 4-disc edition, which comes with the Blu-rays, and another disc, which is a DVD copy, which generally I would use as a coaster, but I think it's a good idea because we're in the... I know, for me as a viewer, it's not a good idea. However, we all know this. We all have friends who don't have Blu-ray players, and they're going to come to me and
don't
ask,
"Andrew,
could you lend me Up?" And say, "Here, have the DVD disc."
So guess what you just did? You just broke the law.
Broke what law?
The Digital Millennium Copyright Act.
You're not allowed to lend, friend. Lending is illegal.
Yes, despite you having a digital copy, a DVD copy, and a Blu-ray copy, you must watch all of them yourself.
Oh, only on one piece of hardware, because you can't move it.
Yes,
to
no transfers.
One. No.
So what's that about breaking the law, son?
I break it every morning.
First of all,
speaking of breaking the law, have you been following this thing over in, where the hell is it, Iceland or some place like that? Where this guy, I think his first name is Henrik, he actually came out to the media and he said, okay, I have broken the law because I have bought like 100 DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And copied them onto my hard drive. What are you going to do about it?
Prison time.
Exactly. No, he said, you know, what are you going to do about it? And the anti-pirate group in his company
country.
In his country, said, oh, yes, we'll get back to you on whether we're going to
charge you or not.
Prosecute you or not. And they haven't. He gave them a cutoff date of December 1st, which was yesterday, or today.
He gave the people, the anti-piracy people, a cutoff date. It's not a legal cutoff date. He gave them.
He was like, I'm going to give you until then to tell me what you're going to do with me. And they haven't even got back to him yet. Even though they said, yes, we'll get back to you.
They went, it's a recession, we don't have the money. Leave this one alone.
And so the latest is that he's actually gone to the police and said, you know, I'm handing myself over. I have done these things. And he's just doing it because he wants to show the ridiculousness of it. Because in his country, it is legal to make copies. But it's not legal to go past DRM. So,
good luck with that.
So technically, he's gone past the DRM by making the copy, but he hasn't broken the fact. The fact that he's made a copy doesn't matter. Oh,
yeah, the fact that he's made a copy doesn't matter.
So apart from this,
so if he were to have like somehow copied direct DVD to DVD, would that be breaking DRM?
Break the DRM to do that.
Oh, I don't know.
Any sort of transfer of data other than to stream it from a DVD player would be breaking the DRM.
But back to the reason
flippers.
It's stupid because you're enabling a backward technology. Why would you do that?
I think what they're trying to do, which is stupid, not cut down on costs, because it's going to cost more.
Exactly.
I think what they're trying to do is for all those people who are like at the end of DVDs and at the beginning of Blu-rays, like they haven't bought their Blu-ray equipment yet, but they know they're going to. They'd buy these, the flippers, so they can watch the DVD, and then when they get their Blu-ray players, they can flip and.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. I'm just.
It is Christmas. Anybody who is going to buy a Blu-ray player, is buying it about no shit.
It costs money though, because not only do you have to get a player, the player is kind of cheapish. You can get a player for $100 now, but you also have to own an HDTV, which is not cheap.
Fair enough, but Vizio is their number one selling HDTV brand, and Vizio has TVs in HD for like 3 bills. You can walk into any big box store.
How big is that TV, by the way?
32 inches.
Oh, okay. What's yours?
It's full HD. So, at this point, the cost, not really a burden.
Yeah. Yeah,
what do you say? It's Christmas. Throw out the flipper DVDs and buy them Blu-rays.
No, if there'd be any time to spend money, it's probably the time.
Yeah, but one thing I have to say though, I think that them doing this, I don't agree with them actually selling these things, but the fact that they can have a Blu-ray on top of a DVD and make it work is kind of cool. Wow. Technologically, not, you know, like, ooh, let's.
I think it's just going to make the discs thicker so that it doesn't mess with each other.
Yeah, probably. So, it's just two separate pieces of foil or whatnot inside the plastic.
Would it have been cool to put VHS on top of it?
Actually, that would have been spectacular. Okay.
Anyways, moving on.
And then have a LaserDisc virtual. Yes.
And like a zip drive.
So basically you want like a...
No, I want a Blu-ray disc. That's what I want.
The next news item, Alec Baldwin says he's going to retire from acting after 2012.
Cares. Stop. We need to have a moment of silence.
Absolutely.
For Jack Donaghy.
Absolutely not. What the hell is wrong? He's retiring from acting. It's not a 9-to-5 job that he's done for a billion years.
I don't care.
Right? And he's going to go out on a pension.
Above all people, you watch 30 Rock. You should know. Look, you should know what he brings to 30 Rock.
I am not saying that he's not a good actor and not phenomenal on 30 Rock.
The only good Baldwin, that's who this is. That's who we're talking about
right
here.
But let me tell you how retirement works. Right? When you've worked at a job for 40, 50 years and you're going to leave on a slim pension...
right. Wait, sorry.
At some shitty job for all your life.
Uh-huh.
That is when you retire and tell everybody you know, don't do this shitty job. Go to sleep. He's rich and he doesn't work that hard. I'm guaranteeing it. Actors, what actor you know works every single day, 8 hours a day for all your acting? None.
There are certain actors which are like heavily worked.
Also, you have to remember
that
you also have to remember that acting is not all his job is. made up to be. He also, not so much him, but actors in general also have to do stuff like promote the thing all over the place. They have to drive here and talk to people and do all these things. And even though, yes, you and me, we look at it and say, oh, I wish I had his job because all he does is talk to people. It's physically tiring and exhausting.
And so is retiring. He looks physically tired and exhausted from all the acting he's been doing.
One thing.
Have you not seen him when he was younger, when he was in the bubble? Of course, clearly he is.
And that is a 30 Rock reference.
You know what to move
it. No, I have one question though. I mean, he's awesome in 30 Rock. We all love him in that.
Yeah.
But he's quoted in this saying that he claims his acting career in general is a failure as a movie actor.
He's not wrong.
And I mean, thinking off the top of my head, I loved him in the one scene he had in Glengarry Glen Ross.
The one scene. What else is he?
Dude, was he at any point, was he or any of his brothers like A-list?
Yes, he was. Which one was it? Was it Billy? No, Billy had his shot and died.
Yes.
Steven was kind of up there for a while, I think.
And
he was in Usual Suspects.
Yeah. So Steven, he has his big movie, but he, you know, Steven still comes around and stuff. So he was okay. He was kind of like between B and A, I think. But Alec was always the big shot. But the thing about it is, when he says his movie career was a failure, there's a bit of truth to it. If you watch some of his movies, they're not, you know, fantastic.
No shit.
All of those, you know, 80s and 90s and stuff.
There was Beetlejuice, now that I think about it. Rewatched that.
Yeah, and only. I thought that was great, but how many other really good movies was he in? I mean, I'm not, I don't claim to be an expert on his career, but I have seen a few of his movies, and I'm not impressed.
No.
I'm sorry,
Jack.
Jack, you are a failure, but you're a funny failure. So stay
out
there to rock.
Whoa.
It's not selfish.
Another news item this week. Luc Besson is apparently coming out of retirement. He claimed around, was it 5 years ago? Oh no, a few years back.
A few years back. After what? Something and the Invincibles. Arthur
and the Invincibles, that he wasn't going to direct ever again. He's been writing stories since. He helped write the story for Taken. But he says that he wants to come back to do this film, Adèle Blanc-Sec, which is some French comic book that I know nothing about.
Yes.
Finally.
So the first three words in there are French for what seems to be the great adventures of.
Yeah.
Right? And listen, here is all I need to know about the story. It's Luc Besson, who has given us time-honored gems such as The Fifth Element.
The Professional.
La Femme Nikita, that's the one I was thinking of. And, you know, many more. And it's a comic book with a fucking dragon on the front. I'm in.
That's
okay.
Has dragons ever worked out in movies though?
Is that a dragon?
I don't know. Oh, sorry. Whatever. It's a flying thing that roars. Right?
They used that in Jurassic Park 3 and that didn't work out.
They used it in Jurassic Park 1 and it didn't work out.
There weren't pterodactyls in that one.
Yeah.
It had to be.
No.
It's Jurassic Park, damn it.
Listen.
I say the word.
Thank you very much.
IMDb can't prove that. You have to go back and watch that movie.
And
we're watching it. No.
Listen. Luc Besson made... Luc Besson made Chris Tucker look good, okay? It's hard to do that. Very hard.
But Chris Tucker is...
I trust this man with my life.
Would you?
Yes.
Would you?
Yes.
I'm going to call him. I'm going to tell him that your life is his now.
Yes.
Luc Besson is going to say some very harsh words in French.
You realize that he wrote Taken, which means he could do crazy things with your life. He could send you into sex slavery.
He could probably pretend to do crazy things. Think about this.
Speaking about crazy things in lives, What the hell are we talking about? Have to segue this nonsense shitty conversation.
Something that I can't segue into, but the last news item we want to talk about. Greengrass is officially off Bourne 4.
I can segue into that. Speaking of people coming out of retirement.
Who the hell was in retirement for that movie?
Maybe
Greengrass is retired.
You're saying that Doug Liman is going to come back to this franchise. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay,
alright. I'll have to find someone.
Darn it. But yeah, this is actually... I'm a little bit upset because this may be the end of the Bourne trilogy. I was about to Bourne say the trilogy. End of the Bourne trilogy. The end of the Bourne sequence.
Cut
of
that
films.
One.
Some of us teach other people.
And, you know, I actually, even though I was... I have to admit, I was one of the first people to kind of... make fun of him for his shaky camera style in the first movie that he directed. I've rewatched it and I've actually grown okay
he
with the second film.
In that movie.
But
no, that wasn't
one,
him. He didn't
no,
do the
yeah,
first one.
Doug Liman. The third one.
He did the second and the third, not the first one.
Was fantastic. I absolutely loved it.
The first one was very clairvoyant.
Yeah.
Yes, and that was Doug Liman.
I don't care about
Doug Liman. So completely off topic.
Movies that are awesome.
So I'm sad to see him go, and I'm sad to see the, you know, possibility of
all right.
being another one.
So of course the question is, they're going to make Bourne 4. Who would you want to direct Bourne 4?
Terry. And I want Jason Statham.
No Jason Statham. We're going to have Matt Damon Bourne 4.
To four.
I don't know if Matt Damon is going to make Bourne 4 enough.
I think he's going to do it.
You think so?
I think they're going to do it really quickly, like in the next year or so.
Greengrass left and Matt Damon is leaving behind him. It was a bait and switch so that they could have made Green Zone, which pretty much looks like another Bourne movie.
It does.
And now they're done.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully things work out for the best.
Yeah, like the Bourne. But what if they don't? What if him leaving, runs this movie into the ground? Then we'll have
then
three awesome
have
movies.
The fourth
and then this
my
terrible
shelf.
Movie. Just...
It's like Indiana Jones, okay?
No.
I own the first three films.
There's
and I watch
three.
Them.
I don't know
and
what
I love them.
There's
the fourth one.
What?
You know,
there's
you just don't
movie.
Think
you
about it.
You see, that's
it.
Exactly what we're going to do with the board. We're going to ignore board four if it ends
where's this
bad.
Fourth Indiana Jones movie?
It then. Doesn't. It doesn't exist. Just like the fourth Bourne movie wouldn't exist if it's okay. bad.
But you know, what if they kind of come out like? The first Star Wars.
As I was about to say, the only way they could actually do any sort of hurt is if they pull a Star
put
Wars.
Out another trilogy on that sense.
And talking about sequels.
Born as a baby.
And talking about sequels that look like trash, moving into trailers, there was District 13.
City divided by crime, overrun by corruption. District 13 is ground zero, and the clock is ticking.
Why did you make me watch this? Wow. Listen, I am done with watching people walk and run with style. Yes,
parkour is awesome.
You know,
and the French, they love it. You know what else the French love? Using their hands to score goals. Andrew got that. Yep. No explanation.
Do you know what this is, right?
Yep.
Douglas, you know what this is, right?
The French.
Henri during the France versus Ireland match.
I saw that he might get penalized for something, but I didn't actually read the article and I didn't watch the game.
The topic is going up.
Alright, we'll leave it alone. Anyone who gets it so far, I've given away too much. District 13.
It looks generic. It looks like the last one that I didn't like, with more parkouring and more running. It just... Can't I get good action movies anymore? What the hell is going on? It can't be that hard. They made like a billion of them in the 80s. Why does everyone feel the need to take action movies seriously? And there's any plausible way any of this shit could happen?
Jade on the Dawn is trying to correct the title, and I'd like to say to him, as much as I respect you as a person, I really don't care about the title of this film.
Is it District B-13? But that doesn't B mean District in or something?
I have no clue.
Nonsense like that.
I have absolutely no idea.
Really, to tell you the truth, the B all that represents is the type of film that this is.
No, it's not even that cool.
And I'm with you guys, like, I don't think I've actually sat down to watch a whole of the first movie, but I've seen, like, the last half hour, and I've seen bits of all the running stuff. And, I mean, those are kind of cool sometimes. I remember when it came out in the Nike ads,
yeah.
And those were really cool.
Parkour was awesome for, like, Assassin's
Creed. And then they had that one scene in Casino Royale, which was cool. Yeah. But
in
a whole movie...
In burst.
No.
It can be enjoyable. You need to rein it. No one wants to see that. I have a gun, you running up and down, not going to change the fight, I'm going to shoot you. So I have a gun.
Did you not watch The In-Laws? You snake.
Serpentine.
Wow.
That movie's hilarious.
So the next trailer I want to talk about, St. John of Las Vegas, this new movie with Buscemi.
When I lived in Las Vegas, I had plenty of luck. Problem was, most of it was bad. I've never had a desk job before, but I watched enough TV. Do good work and you move up. And I have the best seat in the house.
So you know how you're always playing those scratch card games?
I'm not.
Three grand guineas. My girlfriends and I all chipped in and bought our own card, and mine was called Who's Your Daddy?
Huh. I'll have to try that. Four Who's Your Daddies?
Thank you for calling Townsend Insurance. Can I have your claim number, please?
She's a wild woman. You know what she loves? Good hair pulling.
We're in the business of fraud detection. You could be a fraud man. I was thinking the Wildcat.
What's the Wildcat?
1970 Buick Wildcat. The owner, a Miss Tasty Delight, says she was rear-ended outside of Vegas. Virgil is going to go investigate, and I want you to go with him.
I don't like Vegas.
You don't like Vegas?
Would I get more money?
We have to see the stripper first, prove she's lying.
What happened to you?
Some guy rear-ended me.
Well, what if she really is hurt?
Yeah.
Your boyfriend know you're a stripper?
Yeah, he works for the government, so, like, same thing.
A lot of people, actually. Sarah Silverman is in
Yes.
She's not playing her.
And I think it's Dinklage. Is Dinklage or...
Actually, yeah.
The short person.
Oh,
I know.
Sorry.
It's Dinklage, that's that one, right? That's his name? I don't know. I can't remember each one's names. I think it's Dinklage. And I have to say, this movie looks like it might be a little middling, but it kind of interests me as I was watching the trailer.
If they get it right, it could be good. Not the Hangover good, but it could be.
Yeah.
But there's signs that they might not have gotten everything right. I'm just hoping for the best at this one.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of with Andrew. It looks like it could be good, but... Now, I'm going to preface this with, I love Steve Buscemi, and I think he is a really good actor.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the but. He's been in a lot of awful movies.
You mean everything that isn't Coen Brothers?
Essentially. And this movie could maybe be a movie that still is awful because he's in it.
There are definitely signs that all is not right with this movie. But
so I hope, but
let's hope.
You know, small.
And I guess the last trailer we can talk about tonight is Micmac.
Meet Basil. His simple life was about to turn upside down. Now, thanks to a medical miracle,
okay,
and a chance meeting with a makeshift family of misfits,
mm-hmm.
going to find the two men who made the bullet that almost killed him.
This new French film from the director of Amelie and Delicatessen.
Are we not talking about that Killing Room nonsense? So the hell is the trailer that you got?
Which one? The Killing Room?
Yeah, no, the one that I... Killing Room was what I was using to exam.
Yeah, exam.
Alright, we can throw that one on.
Well, I didn't watch a trailer. I just saw that it was a trailer and put it up there and I was like, you guys...
That's what Douglas always does. He just goes like, oh, there's a trailer. I'll click on the link, leave the tab open for a week, and then when we come on Wednesday, Andrew will show it to me.
I need to do this.
I watched the exam trailer and that looks bad.
Yeah. I saw the Killing Room trailer like...
That's on TV
ago,
already, you know.
It already looks bad.
You know it's on TV already.
Canon in that one.
Yes.
Laugh my head off.
So can we talk about Micmacs?
Let's talk about Micmacs, sure. Because I love this director. I have watched Amelie a gajillion times. I have watched most of Delicatessen and love what I've seen. I have watched A Very Long Engagement and that is fantastic. This movie... What? Shut up.
That movie's
You're
good.
Not alone.
I actually haven't seen that movie yet. I've been meaning to. I haven't watched it yet.
I was actually really surprised because it's a French movie. Everything is in French.
Well,
wait. Everything is in French. It's all French people. They're all speaking French. And then all of a sudden there's Jodie Foster. And you're like, oh, wait.
Jodie Foster's in it?
Yes. And you're like, are you going to speak American? And then she's like, in French.
Is it a double or is it... You
no,
think it's her?
It's her. And that just surprised the hell out of me.
As far as Douglas is, it's her.
Exactly. All right. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's her. It looks like it. Her lips go along with the whole
makes, that just made me think of Scene in the Rain, which I watched this week.
You're overselling that last movie.
But no, I do really like A Very Long Engagement. Very cool movie. And now, based on, you know, his resume, I would say... Any movie that he made, I would watch.
However, based on this trailer, if it wasn't him, his name
wasn't
attached.
I still want to watch it because this trailer looks quirky, looks funny, looks like maybe there's a bit of depth to it.
Oh, the keywords. Damien looks funny.
It looks like a good trailer. It looks like something that I would enjoy. I don't care if Damien don't enjoy it because guess what? I enjoy it.
Alright.
Therefore, I am.
Here's the thing about this movie. I like the trailer. And it looks interesting in the way that Amelie and Delicatessen were. Which, of course, is very obvious, seeing as it's the same director. However, here's my problem with the trailer. And we've mentioned this before, voiceovers. And I think this one is particularly poor because it's painfully obvious that they used a voiceover. Because this is a UK trailer. In that, they could tell you what the story was without having to have one person have any French dialogue in the trailer shown. So for anyone who isn't who doesn't know what they're looking at, even though it's I don't know if they're stupid enough to think that this would be an English movie. Watching this trailer,
what if it is English?
You can see the most they've allowed people to do is say something like "no" and laugh throughout the trailer. Everything else is voiceover, and it's kind of stupid.
Would you have preferred reading so?
Yes.
On the trailer?
Yes, I would have preferred chopping it up with the French dialogue and having the subtitles so that it tells me what the story is with the movie itself.
I see what you're saying, but guess what? That's not a fault on the filmmaker's part or the film. It's a fault on
the trailer.
Yeah.
Which I'm pointing out.
The dudes who produce it.
No, but what you say, you're like, yes, I'd watch it based on that, but.
Yeah, I'm just saying, no, I'd watch it. But just as a side note, the thing I hate about this trailer is...
Okay.
Maybe I didn't make that clear enough.
It was quirky. It's weird.
I like
it. Looks interesting.
It's very...
Very French.
It probably is.
Do you not like French movies?
Also, I love the visuals.
What about Rafifi?
The trailer. I love the way the colors, you know, are so bright.
I like the trailer. I was just mocking Douglas. It's quirky.
As soon as quirky is said, we know Damon's not going to like it.
It's another word to describe sheets. Quirky. Although I use awesome a lot.
All we're going to do is come up with a synonym for quirky. Because if something is quirky, it's not like it becomes not quirky if you don't call it quirky.
What is quirky? And I guess that's really that.
It was a slow news week.
Yeah.
Because you...
Actually,
American bastards had Thanksgiving where you celebrate the murder of a race of people.
But there was actually one big news item this week that everybody probably knows about. Tiger Woods,
ignore. I don't even want to think about it.
What's that movie? Really?
They're talking about it in the chat room, and I don't want to talk about
it.
What's that movie? Really?
Did you know that there is actually a website? No. There is actually a website where you can bet on whether you think he's going to get a divorce.
I'm putting $10 though.
What are the odds? Do you know what the odds are?
No, I didn't actually look at the website.
I like betting. I'm a betting man. Sounds good.
And so we can move into our feature review of Dead Ringers.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Beverly Mantle.
By every scientific measure, they are absolutely the same. They share everything.
You haven't had any experience until I've had it too. Bev, you've got to try the movie star. She's unbelievable.
Doctor, you've cured me.
You mean to say there's two of them? They're twins, dear.
I think we should drop her, Bev.
You drop her?
I'm in love with her.
Can't be love if it does this to you, can it?
Doctor, I think there's something wrong with you.
You can go first, Andrew. This was your choice. What do you have to say about this film?
I picked this film, and I picked it based on the fact that David Cronenberg directed it.
So blind faith.
Blind faith.
Like you picked one.
I loved Eastern Promises, I loved The History of Violence, I loved The Fly. Why not? So I sat down to watch this movie last night, and it was long and it was boring. However, there are good points to this film.
Did you watch the same movie?
I think it was well directed. I think the story had some really good themes in it. It's about these twin brothers who are gynecologists together, and they're pretty dependent on each other. One is like the main brain. I mean, they're both brilliant, but one plays the main brain role, who does all the hard work and the thinking, and one is the other one who shows up at all the events and charms everyone into giving them all the grants and all the money and all stuff. And they also apparently share women.
Because did you say they're identical twins?
Yes.
Okay, I kind of zoned out. Sorry.
Jeremy Irons plays both roles, and he's very, very good in the movie.
He plays one. It's one person.
No, it's twins. They're two separate people.
They're identical. They're one person.
And it's a really interesting movie on the brothers aspect. And what I found even more interesting was once this woman came in the mix and took one brother away from the other, more or less. That brother fell on a drug habit, and it came back to the dependence theme, which I found really interesting.
Didn't you say this movie was boring?
Yes.
But it's also interesting. Can you be interested and bored? Is that even possible?
Aspects were interesting, but in general, as a film-going experience, it was boring. Like, it's something that you watch once, if at all, and never again.
Yeah. Douglas.
No, I don't think Andrew's.
No, he's finished.
Yeah, and I just thought the whole dependence deal was really interesting in this film and played really well as a story. So I think it was based on some book called Twins. So I think maybe the book is better than the movie, but I don't know. Damien.
No, what
was the name of this movie? Dead Ringer?
Dead Ringer.
And Jeremy Irons was in this movie. Yeah. I like Jeremy Irons, actually. He was in Die Hard, in Avengers.
And The Lion King.
Who was he in The Lion King?
Scar.
I haven't watched that movie in forever, and back then I wasn't listening to the voices. I was like, oh, that's the pig. Ooh, that's the lion.
He's been in some bad movies.
Yeah, he has.
He was in that crappy dragon movie last year, Aragorn.
And that wasn't last year, was it? Wasn't it a couple years ago?
It feels like last year. Anyways, you were saying.
Yes, I'm Jeremy Irons, good actor. David Cronenberg apparently has directed good movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody seems to say.
You've never seen any of his
movies? No, I've seen some Promises and I like it. I've seen History of Violence. I like it.
The Fly?
I've seen The Fly, but a long time ago.
You don't like The Fly?
I didn't like it then. I haven't seen it in a long time. So, I don't know.
So, okay, resume-wise, I guess he's supposed to be a great director.
Mm-hmm.
This movie was bad. It was slow.
Okay.
It took a long time to get to the point when it was actually, you know, a movie it reminded me of in that sense. Do you remember this children's film with Bill Murray? And they're all like underground and then they try and get out to the
world. Reviewed it earlier this year.
We did.
City of Ember.
It reminded me of that film because they did the same exact thing. The City of Ember took maybe an hour to explain the situation when it could have done so and actually did do so in about 2 minutes. And this movie did the same exact thing. It took an hour for them to say, okay, we've got identical twins, they're a couple of shits, they share women, and they're brilliant.
It really didn't take them an hour to do that. Not really.
It took them a long time though to do that and then to move on from that and get into the story part of it. To, you know, the what happens, the actual, you know, nitty gritty of it. Right. And you know, it was just, they should have cut out a lot.
Okay.
A lot of what was in there. The story itself, the stuff that happens,
mm-hmm.
I could see it making for an interesting story and an interesting movie. But like I said, it's just that, you know, they'd make something happen and then they'd just dwell on the details for much too long. But yeah, I mean, Jeremy Irons, I guess his performance was great. It was a good performance.
I think it's his best performance. There's nothing that comes even close to what he did with these two characters.
But this movie was just too boring to ignore. So I'm sorry. I really have nothing else to say about this film.
Right now, I'm very curious about Damon because I'm not sure which way he is.
So, you guys both love There Will Be Blood.
Yes.
Right.
Love that movie so much.
And there's so much that happened. That really happened in that movie. That movie was boring at all. And you loved The Lives of Others.
Yes.
Which also, a lot happened in that movie. And now you're going to turn and look Jeremy Irons in the face in his performance of a lifetime. He was able to let you know which twin was talking whenever the twin was on screen, immediately.
Very true. That was a good thing.
Right. Just by his acting alone, they looked the same. For the most part, they behaved the same. They wore identical clothing for a lot of the times. And you absolutely knew that it was the same. That it was the which twin it was immediately.
Right.
And you're saying that the movie took a long time to explain what it is the brothers do?
No, I'm not saying it took a long time to explain. What I'm saying is that it explained it,
right,
and then decided that it still needed to explain it for a very long time.
In what sense?
I think what Douglas wants to say is he prefers movies with montages.
Andrew, what?
You wanted it to go by quicker. So you wanted someone to sit down and have a voiceover saying, there are these two characters. Boom, boom.
No, I didn't.
One is smart.
Exactly,
boom. One is pretty. Boom.
I knew exactly what was happening about 5 minutes into the movie. I didn't need the rest of the half an hour for me to see, oh, one's very smart and one's not. One's the charmer. No, I knew that from the beginning. One, you know, they share women. Yes, I know this.
But Douglas, they had to develop that dynamic on screen somehow. And unless you were going to use Andrew's word. They had to. And then it showed what happened when they introduced something into their current situation that destroyed the dynamic between them. And what happened when you know, they were forced to come back to each other, and if it was possible for them to fix and reclaim all their previous glory after one had spiraled into a drug-fueled a drug-fueled rage, basically. And I thought the movie went about telling this story very well. I wasn't bored at any point. I was constantly fascinated how these, how the dynamic between them, how they treated women, and what happened when their dynamic was broken. And there was a lot of points where they were trying to fix their relationship and regain their previous stature, and it just went all to hell because of the circumstances that they were left in after the dynamic broke. And to hear you guys, who I thought this movie was definitely up here, guys, because I always said that there will be blood. As much as Daniel Day-Lewis' performance was phenomenal, that movie was boring as shit. And you, last week, when I berated The Lives of Others, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, for being exactly what you're claiming that this movie is, you said, no, people need to stop, you know, saying that just because a movie is slow doesn't mean the movie is boring.
But guess what? Guess what?
But the movie was not boring.
See, I did not say that every slow movie is not boring.
Hold on.
Some slow movies.
Right. Here's the thing.
This is not one of them.
You are crazy. Absolutely.
However, no, I have to tell you this: that I do appreciate the story. I'm not saying that the story is crap. The story is a good story. I just don't like the movie because the movie was really long and boring.
Alright, defense time. I've made it very clear that I don't hate this movie, I just don't love it that much. I love the story, I've made that very clear, and I love certain aspects of the story. And on the point of slow movies and stuff, slow movies can work, and you can love slow movies, but I think the linchpin for you to love a slow movie, like what you've mentioned right now talking about this movie, is your investment in the character, in the characters being given to you, right? You're invested in these two brothers. I was invested in Daniel Plainview rolling his oil business all over town. Douglas was invested in whatever that German guy's name was in The Lives of Others. Right? And I mean, I saw the interesting points in this film, story-wise and character-wise, but I just felt like at points, as well as interesting it was, I was being dragged rather than being invested and curious about how these characters would react to what they were being given throughout the film.
I cannot see where you're coming from on this one. Like, their dynamic and the fact that you knew that Jeremy Irons was one person.
And the acting, no, the acting was intense. No, it was amazing. No,
I'm not going to argue the acting, because only a fool would look at this movie and say that the acting is bad. And I wouldn't even talk to that person, justify that nonsense with an answer. But just to see how these two, you know, went about their daily lives and what happened when there was something that disrupted their lives, I was constantly invested. I don't understand how you guys didn't see or felt bored at any.
What did you think of towards the end when Cronenberg started getting freaky and sci-fi with all the new tools and stuff?
That was drug-filled nonsense. And if you were super smart and started going on drugs, probably end up there. See George Lucas. That's all. James Cameron spending $500 million dreaming up Mike. That's what drugs do to you.
He says it's not $500 million. I'm sure it's more like 499.
I'm sure it's more like 700 when you added advertising.
Like, dude, it's not 500. And then he's like, it's about 800.
It needs to be. It needs to be Titanic.
Can we get the Twilight Utilities?
Damn it! Slow motion.
So slow.
Oh. Whoa, well, I guess that's done. I have to say that's quite interesting, because I thought you were going to hate this movie.
Why do you like this movie?
He's made it clear.
There will be blood. Nothing happened in that movie. The only thing that
there
kept
was
that movie
a
going,
shake. Okay.
The only thing that kept that movie going was his performance, and it was phenomenal. But the movie around it was boring as shit. You people love it. Everyone loved that movie, and now this, it's essentially the same movie in a different setting. And you guys are like, no.
And with that, I guess we can end off right here. And that was the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
Damien has gone home.
And this is Douglas.
Thanks for listening. You can find the podcast on gmanreviews.com. You can find it on iTunes, the podcast alley. You can email us unnamed@gmanreviews.com. You can find me on Twitter @gmanreviews. There's a theme going here.
I guess you can find me at Twitter as well. My name is DJ R. Lost his name.
And Damien can't be phoned, so don't try. And that's it. Good night.